6, verse 1. Isaiah 6, page 718 in your old Scofield Reference Bible. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me. And, you know, get our eyes on the Lord. Sometimes get a vision of the Lord. People think, well, you'll swing from chandeliers and knock over benches. Brother, you get a vision of the Lord. Sometimes you'll want to humble yourself and come down, repent, and dust and ashes when you get in the presence of God. And he said, Woe is me, as soon as he saw the Lord, for I am undone, and because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Let's bow our heads, please, and ask the Lord to bless his word today to our hearts. Father, we thank you for this good service, these good songs, Lord, that have blessed our hearts, and thank you for the prayers that have been offered up today, and thank you now for the Word of God, this precious portion of the Word of God. Speak to our hearts through this portion of your Word today. May we hear from heaven. May, Lord, that still small voice within, Lord, speak to us today, I pray. And then, Lord, for those here that need encouragement, would you encourage them? Lord, maybe some here today about ready to give up, Lord, encourage them to keep on keeping on by your grace, that you won't let them down. You'll help them. They'll just keep looking to thee. That one, Lord, that's tempted to sin and to Lord, I pray that today you'll show them the error of sin and that they might, Lord, not yield to temptation. That when it's lost, Lord, I pray that you'd draw them to yourself today. May they come to know Jesus before they leave here. And Lord, just bless your children today. And may, Lord, we be encouraged and strengthened in the things of the Lord. And, Lord, now anoint me as I preach. And, Lord, I pray for all the other children's churches and preschool churches. God, just bless them today, junior church and primary church and preschool. God bless. And as the word of God goes out over there, now anoint me as I preach and anoint these that hear. And, Lord, just meet with us. We beg you. We invite your presence and defeat the devil now. And remove hindering spirits, I pray in Jesus. And Lord, silence our hearts before thee. We wait before thee, I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there are many chapters, great chapters, in the Word of God that are considered spiritual mountain peaks. Genesis 3, the fall of man, is certainly one of the mountain peaks spiritual in the Word of God. Man created in innocency and fell into sin, and the curse of sickness and sin and death and all of that came upon the human bloodstream, upon the human family because of sin. And all of the things, all of the ills in the human race, all sickness as a result of sin, man's fall, those glasses there, and your hair falling out or turning gray, and your steps getting a little halting, and the illnesses and surgeries we face, all because of man's sin there in the garden. And then Genesis 12, another great spiritual mountain peak in the Word of God, where God called Abraham to leave a great civilization, Ur of the Chaldees, and go out not knowing where he was going. God said, Abraham, get out of here. and I'm going to bless you. And Abraham left. And then God said, I'll bless him that blesseth thee and curse him that curseth thee. And then in Genesis 32, another great mountain, spiritual mountain peak in the Word of God, where Jacob wrestled with God, with the angel of God. He said, I won't let you go. He wrestled to the break of day. And I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. Wouldn't it be wonderful today if we would pray and get to seeking the Lord and say, Lord, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. And then Exodus 12, another spiritual mountain peak. I better not get to preaching on so much on all these great passages. I better just mention a few and go on. Exodus 12, the great Passover, where God's death angel passed over those that were under the blood. And then in Psalm 23, the great shepherd psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. And then Isaiah 53, the chapter of the suffering servant. Matthew 24 and 25, Olivet discourse concerning the events related to the second coming of Christ. John 3, the new birth chapter. When I think of John 3, I think of the new birth in John 3:16, where Jesus said, you must be born again. Acts 2, day of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 15, the great hope we have in the resurrection, the great resurrection chapter. Hebrews 11, the faith chapter. Great spiritual mountain peaks of the Word of God. And there are many others I could mention. But one of the most memorable, uplifting mountain peaks in the Word of God has to be, and for me, Isaiah, the sixth chapter. Here in this chapter, Isaiah, the prophet, had his life-changing, soul-stirring rendezvous with the Lord God of heaven. He sort of eavesdropped in on the glory world, and he saw the Lord high and lifted up in all of his glory. And then when he saw the Lord there on the throne, then he saw those seraphims around the throne of God flying there, and they cried out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And then Isaiah said, when I saw the Lord, then he said, I saw myself. I said, woe is me. I'm undone. And I'm no good. I'm unclean. And I'm live in the midst of the people who are unclean all around about me. And then he said, woe is me. And a seraphim took a live coal with a tongue from off the altar and applied it to Isaiah's heart and life, to his mouth. And he said, thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. And then especially this morning, the Lord has especially laid on verse 8 on my heart to bring a few thoughts from this verse this morning. Look at verse 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said Isaiah, here am I, send me. I want to just point out three things about this verse today. First of all, Isaiah heard the voice of the Lord. It's a wonderful thing. It was a wonderful thing that for Isaiah, that God in his mercy spoke to his heart. The greatest thing that God can do for a person in his love and in his mercy is speak to that heart. I'm glad as a 13-year-old boy that the Lord spoke to my heart. And if God has spoken to your heart through his Spirit and you respond, you ought to rejoice today. You're of all people most blessed if you have had a meeting with the Lord and have been saved. God speaks to the human heart in many ways. In the Old Testament, he spoke by dreams and visions, and he would send a prophet with a message God laid on his heart to that person. Now, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit didn't have a ministry like he does today. He just would occasionally come on people. Then he indwells believers today. But now God, in this church age we live in today, speaks differently than he did in the Old Testament. He can use dreams and visions and anything he wants to do. But he doesn't choose today usually to use dreams and visions. And he could use nature to speak to people. He could many times God speaks maybe through music. But there are three main ways that I believe God speaks today. I believe, first of all, God speaks through his word. He doesn't only speak through it, he has spoken through his word. And he continues today to speak to our hearts through the word of God. Folks, that's why almost every time I get up here, I tell you, get in the word. God, you want to say, I'd like for God to speak to my heart. God's already spoken to you through the word. You just have to get in the word of God and listen, see. See, you just have to get in the word and listen. God's already spoken. Oh, I wish God would speak to me. He has. He's already spoken. We just need to don't get in the Word of God where you can find out what God's saying. And people want to today to have dreams and visions and see lightning and hear voices. And you know, we've got something a lot better than that. More stable than that, more certain. God speaks to us today through his infallible, inspired word. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Boy, if it gives understanding unto the simple, folks, a lot of us qualify, don't we, ought to get in there. We can get a lot of understanding. We're in that category. And Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. See, you get in the word, and brother, the word will get in you and get down to where you live and start God will speak to you through his word. If we'll just read the book every day, stay in the book, and then if we'll come to the church of the living God and hear the teaching and preaching of the word of God, God will speak to us through his word. Then God speaks today through his spirit. When the Lord Jesus went back to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit. He said, expedient for I go away. If I go not away, the Holy Spirit will not come. And he said, if I go, I will send him unto you. And he did go back and he sent his spirit. And he's in the world. And the Holy Spirit's in the world today. He's calling out a bride for Christ. He's in the world calling men to come to Christ, pleading with men to come to Christ. And no one can get saved unless the Spirit of God moves over their hearts and calls them to Jesus Christ. You have to be called from sin to the Savior by the Holy Spirit. In Hebrews 3, 7, and 8, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart. Then also God calls through circumstances. The providential dealing of God with men through the trials of life has made many a person to stop and realize just how much he needs to get right with the Lord God that sits on the throne of the universe. He speaks through circumstances. The psalmist said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now, after I went through my affliction, he said, now I have kept thy word. Well, there'd be many people never would have gotten saved if God, in his mercy, hadn't have permitted some trial to come across their pathway. But now, I think this is one of the reasons that Isaiah saw the Lord, that he had a meeting with the Lord in his grief over the loss of his good friend Uzziah. He looked up to the Lord and had a life changing glimpse of the Lord in his power and in his glory. So he heard the voice of the Lord. Then when he heard the Lord speaking, he heard the call of God for his life. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Not only did the Lord get Isaiah's attention where he could hear the voice of the Lord, but also the Lord issued Isaiah a call, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I'm glad God still calls people today. to serve Him. I believe that God's call is mainly threefold. First of all, naturally, His call is to salvation. Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door," the Lord has promised, if you'll just hear and invite Him in, that He'll come in and sup with Him and He with me, the Lord says. In Revelation 22:17, "The Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." Throughout the Word of God, from Genesis on through the book of Revelation, we see a holy God reaching out to sinful man, saying, "Come, come, for all things are now ready. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I'm glad that I responded to the Lord, the call of God to salvation, the first time I ever heard Him, felt Him tugging at my heart's door. I'm glad that I responded to the call of God for salvation. Then after we get saved, then there is the call of God that comes to every one of His children for separation, for godly, holy living. God says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Titus 2:14 says, "He gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity." And He doesn't stop when He redeems us. He wants to purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. God, if God's called us to salvation, then there's a call of God that comes to His children today for holy living and separated living. 2 Corinthians 6:17, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing." And then God says, "I'll receive you. I'll receive you." So God is calling His children to holy, godly, separated living. Now folks, there's not many people living holy, godly lives today. And there's not many people being used of God. There's not many people walking with God because they're not living holy, godly lives. Why must we live holy, godly lives? In order to have blessed fellowship with Jesus. You can't walk in the world and walk with the Lord. They're mutually exclusive. And God is calling us here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church to a life of holiness and godliness and separated living. And folks, lest people say, "Oh, I don't want to go down to that big church. I don't want to." Listen, God has blessed us with numbers over the years. But folks, let's never lose our message at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church that God expects us to live holy, godly lives. I don't care who you are. I don't care what circumstance of life you're from. I don't care how far high up you are on the social register. I don't care about your bank account or your education. You're going to get one message. You come here, God expects you to live a holy, godly life and come out of the world. That's a message that you're going to get from this pulpit, long as I'm here, for everyone, and for all of us. In every circumstance that we find ourselves in life, of men of high, of low degree, God expects His children to live holy, godly lives. And then, folks, when we live for Jesus and come out of the world and say, "Lord, I want to live for you. I want to please you, God." And then, folks, we know the blessing of God on our lives. The way of the Lord is a way of holiness. Then, after He calls us to Himself in salvation, and after He calls us to separation and to come out of the world, go outside the camp, bearing His reproach, living for Jesus, walking with Him, living a life of purity, then there comes another call I believe God has, and that is, it's a call for service. This is the call that Isaiah received right here. "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I'm glad today, I'm glad God didn't stop calling people to serve Him with Isaiah there. I'm glad He's calling people today. He called me a number of years ago to serve Him. And God is calling men and women, boys and girls today, 2,700 years later, to serve Him. Folks, the Lord wants us to serve Him. We've been saved and washed in the blood. And if we're living for Him, we ought not just sit around and do nothing. And we ought not just be involved in the things of this life and neglect service for Him. We ought to get involved in serving the Lord. And the call is going out this morning to everyone. If you're saved here this morning in this auditorium, if you're seated in this auditorium right now and you're saved and you're under the blood, the call is coming to you to get involved in the service of the Lord. And it's a privilege to get involved in the service of Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that's going to last. Folks, let's don't just be bogged down in our lives and wasting our lives just on pleasure and sports and good times and making money and things of no eternal value. Now, I'm not saying give up all pleasure and everything. No, the Lord wants us to have a good time. I'm not saying you can't enjoy yourself as a Christian, but we should not just live for pleasure and sports and good time and these things of no eternal value. We should serve the Lord. What are you doing this morning for Jesus' sake? What are you doing? What are you doing for Jesus today? Now stop and ask yourself. Are you involved in the things of the world, but no time for the Lord? Now, we're gearing up for the fall campaign in our Sunday school. Brother Gary had the announcement put about Awana in the bulletin today. That's a great program. We have a great Sunday school. But we need workers. We need workers here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And surely a church this size, I'm sure that there's people who can do the job if they'd respond to the call of God. In the bulletin, I believe we need Awana workers. We are in need of workers in Cubbies and the Awana 5-year to 6th grade. We need workers in our Awanas. We need workers in our Sunday school. We need Sunday school teachers. We need superintendents. We need two superintendents right now in our Sunday school. We constantly need bus workers. And there are many seated right here in this auditorium today. God has given you the gifts that you could use in these capacities. And I believe the Lord didn't give you those gifts to use for yourself. He wants you to use them, folks, for His glory. There are many of you that seated here that could serve the Lord in one of these capacities that I've mentioned. Folks, you ought to do it. You ought to do it. When we see the Lord, we will not regret the time we've spent in serving Him. Brother Sandy, you said God's called you in the bus ministry. When you see the Lord, Sandy, you won't regret those hours. You won't regret them. I'll guarantee you. I'll guarantee you, Sandy. I'll guarantee you. You are spending time serving the Lord. I know we have to give up a little when we spend time knocking on doors, preparing lessons, and going out and visiting people. I know, but folks, you'll never regret it when you see Jesus. As the song says, by and by, when I look on His face, I wish I had given Him more. I believe that's so. I believe that's so, Brother Jack. I believe it's so. I'm trying to serve the Lord, but I believe when I look on His face, I'll say, Lord, I just now wish I'd spend more time praying, more time in the book, more time out trying to win somebody to Jesus, more time out knocking on doors. When I see Jesus, I believe that's the way I'll feel, and I believe you will too. Now, folks, we have these needs in the Sunday school, in Awanas, in the bus ministry. Why don't you get involved? Why don't you get involved in serving the Lord? You're involved in doing things for yourself. Why don't you get involved in serving Him? Then notice the response that Isaiah made to the call of God. He heard the Lord saying, whom shall I send and whom will go for us? That's a Trinity. I don't have time to get in that. But who? The God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost is issuing a call. Whom shall I send and who will go for us? The triune Godhead says. Then Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Isaiah didn't waffle when he heard the call of God. He didn't hem and haw, and he didn't offer excuses why he should not do it. You know, God calls us a lot of times, and we'll start figuring out all the reasons in the world why we shouldn't do it, why we can't do it. And, Lord, I don't have the education. And Lord, you know, I'm not cut out for that. Hey, by the way, if you'll cut out a lot of things you're doing, you'll be cut out for serving the Lord. Do you know that? I'll guarantee you. Reason you're not cut out for serving the Lord, you need to cut out a lot of things out of your life. Well, Lord, you know, I don't have that kind of personality, and I just can't get up in front of people. But boy, you get in front of people and you go like that all the time. But think you can't get up and talk for Jesus. And Lord, I can't do it because, Lord, I don't have enough money or it costs to do that. Or, Lord, I got too many irons in the fire. Or Lord, I know you call me in. I know all too. But, Lord, when I get all my ducks lined up on the pond, have you ever heard that? I have. When I get them all lined up, Lord, then I will. First of all, I've never heard anybody getting all their ducks lined up. That's just a flimsy excuse. You ought to shoot those crazy ducks and go ahead and serve the Lord. I've had people tell me that, and I almost want to laugh in their face, but I won't because I want to be kind to them. When I get all my ducks lined up on the pond, then I'll come out, preacher. Well, listen, when God calls you to do anything, He will provide the opportunity. And then if He's called you, listen, you just do your best and God will give you the ability. The Lord's not going to, listen, if God made us and made this world and He called us to do something, do you think He's going to call you and let you down? Now, would God be a wise, just, loving God to call us to do something and let us down? No. If the Lord is calling you, you might not see your way clear. You might not think, Lord, I can't do it, but Lord, I believe you're calling me. Lord, I'm going to try, and you've got to help me. And the Lord will help you if you'll just do that. And we've got to trust Him. He's able to do abundantly above that which we could ask or think. The Lord will make a way somehow if we want to serve Him. He'll help us. And His power can make you what you ought to be. His love can fill your soul, and you will see 'twas best for Him to have His way with thee. It's always best for us just to obey the Lord and let Him have His way in our lives. Isaiah, look at that response. Isaiah said, "Then said I, here am I, Lord, just send me." He didn't, let's just note two or three things about that response. First of all, it was a personal response. He didn't say, "Lord, I'm sure you mean my brother over here, or Lord, my neighbor over here, or Lord, there's somebody down at church more qualified than me, Lord." Yeah, but that person more qualified may not be committed and dedicated, and the Lord may want to use somebody less qualified for His glory. See, the Lord doesn't always need the most qualified. He wants availability and willingness. And then He can use you. If you will provide that willingness and availability. He didn't say, "Lord," the other person, you know, he said, "No, Lord, here am I, send me." There's billions of people in this world this morning, but God still calls each one of us individually. Isn't that wonderful? Billions of people in the world, and God's interested in me, and God calls me. And then we must answer Him personally. So it was a personal response. And God, the Lord wants you this morning. The need is here. And God wants you to personally respond to the call, the needs here to teach, the needs to be superintendent, the need in Awana, the need in the bus ministry. And folks, the Lord expects you to respond, and don't have us just have to talk to 25 people before we can come up with somebody to do these jobs. If God's calling you, you ought to present yourself. And God will bless you if you'll do that. And then notice also this It was an immediate response. He didn't wait around and think about it and, well, I'm going to talk it over with my buddies. Yeah, your buddies will get you in trouble. They said, my, no, you ought not do that. And friends will lead you astray a lot of times. And he didn't say, well, I'm going to do a cost analysis to see if I respond to the call of God, just what it'll cost me. Or let me check out my prospects for success. No, Isaiah knew that it was the Lord calling, and Isaiah responded immediately to the call of God. And folks, if you want God to bless you, you need to respond immediately. When you know that it's God's calling, you need to respond immediately. And then it was an unconditional response. A lot of times when the Lord calls people, starts moving upon the heart, laying on the hearts of people to do something, they start trying to make deals with the Lord. And Isaiah didn't make a deal with the Lord. He didn't say, now, Lord, I will if, Lord, I'll do it if you'll do. No, the Lord doesn't want you to make any deals with him. And Isaiah, with no strings attached, said, Lord, here am I. Send me. No strings attached. That's the way the Lord wants us to respond. Lord, here I am. Just whatever it is, wherever it is, I'm reporting for duty. And God will bless that kind of attitude. But let me, in closing on that, let me just say there's a great danger present when God speaks to the human heart. Now, you can't take the call of God lightly. It's not a light thing when God calls you. It's a eternally important event when God speaks to you about something. And the danger is this: when God calls a person, if God speaks and we do not hear, if we close our ears and do not respond and obey the call of God, there's the possibility that God may never speak to us again. There is that possibility. And if God is speaking to you this morning, there's danger in delay. If God is calling you to serve Him, Christian, if God is calling you to serve Him in a capacity that I've mentioned this morning, and you will not surrender, but you'll put other things ahead of serving the Lord, there is a danger that the Lord say, well, okay, if you're too busy to serve me, then I'll just bypass you and use somebody else, and the Lord may never use you again. There's that danger. I've seen that happen. I've seen it happen. I've mentioned before, there's a couple in my home church there in Saudi, Oak Street Baptist Church. They used to stand up, and they'd sing, and tears would chase down their cheeks, and God would bless, and people would rejoice, and people would get saved because of their singing and their testimony. And they got their feelings hurt and left the church. Isn't that something? I mean, and they quit serving God. I remember years after that. I don't know how long after that, 5 or 10 years after that. Then this couple, they came back to our church and got up to sing. But you know what? God didn't use them anymore. Their singing was dead, hollow, no blessing. God didn't use it. You know, I don't want to be put on the shelf. I want God to use me till He's through with me and takes me home. I want Him to use me, don't you? I don't want to be put on the shelf. I don't want God to put me on the shelf. I want to be available. Oh, listen, I may miss it many, many times, but oh, in my soul, God knows my heart, I don't want to be on the shelf. By God's grace, I'm not going to be on the shelf. I'm not going to be on the shelf. Then let me say just a quick word. I've mainly meant this message for the saved people to get busy serving the Lord, responding to the call of God. But unsaved, friend, this morning, if God's speaking to your heart and tugging at your heart, and you say, no, not today, I don't have time for Christ. I'm going to put this thing of getting saved off. There is the possibility. Now notice I said the possibility, and it's there, that God's Holy Spirit may never speak to your heart again this side of eternity. And if God's Holy Spirit doesn't speak to your heart, listen to me. Listen to this preacher. If God's Holy Spirit speaks to you, unsaved friend, you won't respond and get saved and come to Jesus. The Holy Spirit may never speak to you again this side of eternity, and it'd be impossible for you to ever get saved. If I was here, an unsaved person today, and God was speaking to me, and I felt down in my soul that I ought to get saved, listen, I'd run down this aisle and fall on this altar and cry out to the Lord, "Save me, Lord." There's a line that is drawn by rejecting our Lord, where the call of the Spirit is lost. As you hurry along with the pleasure man throng, have you counted? Have you counted the call? Have you counted the cost if your soul should be lost? Even though you gain the whole world for your own, even now it may be that the line you've crossed, have you counted? Have you counted the cost? Don't cross that line where a Christian member of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, don't cross that line and get on the shelf. God never use you anymore. Make yourself available to serve Him. An unsaved friend, don't go on without Jesus and cross that line where God's Spirit will never speak to you anymore. Let's bow our heads for prayer. If you feel this morning like God is speaking to you, an inner man, by His Spirit. How does God speak, preacher? Down in your soul. He moves on you and gives you an inclination, gives you a desire, says that's what, that you just, there's a feeling you ought to do that in your soul. That's God speaking to you in a still, small voice today. And I believe there's Christians that you've been using your life for yourself and not using it for serving the Lord. Things you want to do, but not the things the Lord wants you to do. Now, you don't have to give up everything, all pleasure, all everything like that. But I'll tell you, you have to put Him first and do what He wants you to do. And if He's calling you to serve Him, remember Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, the worst thing you can do is refuse that call. It'll hurt you, it'll hurt your wife or husband or family. Your family, people say, well, I think we ought to put the family first. Oh, listen. You put the family first when you serve God. The greatest thing that that children can see is a mom and dad loving them and loving the Lord and serving the Lord. Moms and dads, your children, when they look back, they ought to say, well, I had a mom and dad that served the Lord. Oh, it won't hurt you to spend... give up a few hours a week to serve the Lord. It'll help. God will bless your family. God will bless your family. You ought to do it. And then if you're here unsaved, oh, unsaved friend, make this the day of your salvation. Hear His voice and respond and come to Jesus. How many this morning say, preacher, the Lord's spoken to my heart. I am saved, and the Lord's spoken to my heart. Maybe you're a Christian that's drifted from the Lord, and He's calling you back to Himself. Closer walk with Him. Or maybe you are a servant, you are saved, and you're trying your best to live for Him, and the Lord's calling you to serve Him. You say, preacher, I want the Lord to take my life and use me for whatever He wants. I'm available. Whatever it is, I'm available. Or maybe you're unsaved, and God's calling you to come to Christ and be saved. All over the house, if God's speaking to your heart, let me pray for you. Just slip your hand up right now. Would you do it? Just slip your hand up. Preacher, God's speaking to my heart today about something. Yes, God bless you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Preacher, God is speaking to my heart today. Pray for me. Just lift your hand right. Would you do it? God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? You're not too young or never too old to serve the Lord. I wouldn't quit serving the Lord till God called me home. As long as I had strength in my body, I'd serve the Lord. Anyone else? Preacher, I'm not serving the Lord like I should. But I'm not involved in serving the Lord. And I want God to use my life. If you feel that way down in your soul, if the Holy Spirit's speaking, you ought to respond. Let me pray for you. Just lift your hand right up. Anyone else? If some of you, yes, God bless you. There's others of you that could be used of God. Anybody in the choir? God bless you. Anyone? Preacher, God wants me to use my talents, my abilities to serve Him to the best of my ability. Anyone else in the choir? Where God could use you. God could use you now if He's speaking. Anyone else? Anyone else? God bless you. Yes. Anyone else? Anyone else? Let's wait. Folks, this could be a momentous occasion for somebody. When they decide, I'm going to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. And a new day will dawn. There's people here with a talent right now in this room. God could use you mightily if you use it in serving the Lord. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? Just lift that hand up. Now I'll pray. Preacher, I'll take a Sunday school class. Or preacher, I'll be a superintendent if you want me to. Or if Brother Gary could use me to want us, I'll do it. I'll do it. Whatever God wants for my life, I'll do it. Yes, God bless you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Folks, this is wonderful. God's moving on people to serve Him today. Isn't that wonderful? We'll just wait just a few moments. This can be a revival if you'll just say, I know that I ought to do something for the Lord. I know it. And I'm spending my time on myself and clubs and things and sports. And I'm not against anything like that that's within reason. But you ought to put the Lord first and then those things second. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? God can use you. Anyone else? I'll wait just a moment. God can use you. I didn't ask if you had ability. I didn't ask if you had an education. I ask you, is God speaking to you? Does God want to use you? If He wants to use you, He will provide the wherewithal and the ability. God can take our stumbling efforts and bless us. Do you know that? He can use you. Anyone else? Preacher, I want to be used of God. Pray for me. Anyone else? Anyone else? Now again, is there somebody here today who said, Preacher, I'm unsaved. I'm here today without Jesus Christ. Pray for me. Pray for me. Is there somebody like that? Just lift your hand right up. Anyone, right quick. Right quick. Right forward, pray. Pray for me. Father, we thank you today for this opportunity of coming back to God's house and hearing the Word of God. And Lord, thank you that you have spoken to hearts today by thy Word through thy Spirit and the inner man. Lord, as a result of this morning, may, Father, people be called to take these jobs in the Sunday school and the Awanas and the bus ministry and whatever, Lord, you want people to do. And Lord, Lord, you have to send, meet these needs, Lord. You have to do it. Would you do it? Lord, if somebody here not saved, not right with thee, may they come this morning. And may Christians come get in this altar and say, I'm going to be a servant of the Lord the rest of my days. Preacher, whatever the church wants me to do, I'll be glad to do it with the help of the Lord. In Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, call people. Lord, just as you called Isaiah, and he said, here am I, send me. May just as certainly today, people in this auditorium say, Lord, I believe you want me to serve you. Here am I, send me. Help people to respond to the call of God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm glad as a teenage boy, I didn't think God would ever use me. Shy and bashful. I didn't think the Lord could use me. Hated to get up in front of a crowd. But when I just surrendered myself to the Lord started helping me. And the Lord can help you and use you if you'll just be surrendered to Him. In spite of your faults, in spite of your lacks, God can use you. What you need is just to be available and surrender. And you raise your hand, you Christians, won't you come get on the altar and say, Lord, I want you to use me. And so, Lord, would you bless me, use me, wherever you want me to be used, I'm available. You ought to do that. Folks, we've got too many people that's seated here at the church that ought to be out in the fray. They ought to be out there doing something for the Lord. Now, I know I love every one of you, but we need more people to get in the game. You know that? Get involved in this game of life, in this battle. It's a battle. We're battling Satan for the souls of men. We need to get involved. Let's stand and sing. If God's called you and you feel a need to, for the Lord to use you, wherever it is you're available, if you raised your hand, if you didn't raise your hand, come right on. If you want to rededicate your life, if you want to be saved, come on. If you want to join this church, come on. Let's respond. Why don't we say today, here am I, Lord. Send me. Send me. Come on. Come on.
All to Jesus I surrender.